Welcome to Chill with the Chapter Book from the Wells Public Library. My name is Allison, and this season we are reading Harriet the Spy by Louise Fitzhugh. Chapter 13. The next morning, Harriet was frisked by her mother. The notebook was taken away and given to the cook, who looked as though she might eat it. Harriet walked sadly to school. She dragged her feet and looked intently at the cracks in the cement. She dragged in the door, up the steps, and into her homeroom. She sat down and stared at the floor, not hearing anything around her. After Miss Elson had come in and they had said good morning to her, she went immediately to Harriet, made her stand up to be searched, then searched her desk. Harriet submitted limply. When no notebook was found, Miss Elson patted Harriet on the head like a good puppy and went back to her desk in the front. Some very interested eyes watched this whole procedure. When it was finished, everyone snickered. They whispered a lot and stared at Harriet, who stared at the floor. Harriet did her work. She didn't care anymore about signing her name, and she got no pleasure from the work she did. But she did it. Everything bored her. She found that when she didn't have a notebook, it was hard for her to think. The thoughts came slowly, as though they had to squeeze through a tiny door to get to her, whereas when she wrote, they flowed out faster than she could put them down. She sat very stupidly with a blank mind, until finally, "I feel different," came slowly into her head. She sat digesting the thought like a Thanksgiving dinner. "Yes," she thought after a long pause. And then, after more time, "Mean. I feel mean." She looked around with a mean look for everyone. Nobody saw her. She felt her face contorting. It was an impressive moment that everyone missed. It was a moment that Harriet would never forget. When the bell rang for lunch, it was as though she didn't have to think anymore. Everything happened as though she had planned it, but she really hadn't. For example, when the bell rang, Pinky Whitehead jumped up and ran down the aisle. Harriet put her foot out, and he fell flat on his face. A terrific wail went up from his prone body, and when he raised his face, his nose was bleeding. Harriet looked extremely blank. Inside, she felt a sense of very personal satisfaction. She got up and walked quietly out, stepping delicately over Pinky's writhing body. She knew no one would ever think of her, because she had never done anything like that in her life. She went and got her tomato sandwich. During lunch, she sat, owl-eyed, by herself. She felt her thoughts limping like crippled children. When the bell rang again, she rose like a robot and walked to the door. She was pushed helplessly into the crush at the door. Carrie Andrews was right in front of her. Without thought, Harriet pinched her expertly on the leg. Carrie let out a terrible scream and looked around with a wild red flush on her face. Harriet looked solidly ahead. No one would think of her because she had never pinched anyone in her life. Carrie Andrews, as a matter of fact, sometimes pinched, but the only one really known for pinching was Marion Hawthorne. Carrie leaned over and hit Marion on the head, even though Marion was four people away and couldn't possibly have pinched her. A large fight started, and Harriet squeezed her way out and into math class. She sat, looking Miss Harris forlornly in the eye while the others filed in. Miss Harris, after making certain Harriet had no notebook, tried to smile warmly at her, but Harriet looked away. Without a notebook, there was nothing to do but listen to Miss Harris. Having never done this before, Harriet was totally lost. Miss Harris went on and on about some bridge. Everyone copied down a lot of numbers. Harriet copied them down too, but they made absolutely no sense. They went from there into a spirited discussion about buying and selling a lot of lamb chops. Harriet wadded up a piece of paper and, again without thought, sent it flying into Sport's ear. Sport gave a little yelp, but recovered quickly. At his next opportunity, he looked around. Harriet shot him a mean look. He stared at her a minute, his eyes wide with a growing perplexity and fear. Then he looked away quickly. There was in process an incomprehensible discussion about boats and how many knots they went. Harriet tried to think, but it was impossible. She quite abruptly threw a pencil straight into Beth Ellen's face. Beth Ellen looked horror-struck, and when she saw Harriet looking at her, burst into loud, ridiculous baby tears. The bell rang, and as Miss Harris scuttled over to Beth Ellen, Harriet walked to the door and down the steps. She ran home, into her house, down the steps, and bang, right into the cook. "I just feel mean all over. I would like to hurt each one of them in a special way that would hurt only them." And then she made a list. Marion Hawthorne, frogs. Put one in her desk. A snake would be better. Rachel Hennessy, her father. Ask her where he went. Laura Peters, her hair. Cut it off or make a bald spot. Pinky Whitehead, mean looks. That's all he needs. Carrie Andrews, tell her father something terrible about her, which is a lie. Beth Ellen Hansen, hates to be hit. Hit her. Janie, break her little finger. Sport, call him a sissy and tell everyone he reads cookbooks. Boy with the purple socks? ? She couldn't think of anything for him because he was so dull. Well, she thought, I will watch him tomorrow. The next day at school, Harriet concentrated on these things. She thought about them so hard, she didn't do her work at all. The only words she spoke all day were when she asked Rachel Hennessy why she didn't have a father living in the house. Actually, what she said was, "You don't have a father, do you, Rachel?" in a fairly conversational tone. Rachel looked at her, horrified, and yelled, "I do too!" Harriet said briskly, "Oh, no, you don't." "I do too!" Rachel shouted. "Well, he doesn't love you." "He does too!" "Well, then why doesn't he live with you?" And Rachel burst into tears. The next day, she went to the park immediately after breakfast. She looked for a long time in the bushes and finally found a frog. It was a very small frog, maybe a baby. She picked him up very carefully so as not to squash him and put him in the pocket of her jumper. Then she ran to school, keeping her hand lightly around him so he couldn't jump out. She ran to her homeroom and lifted the top of Marion Hawthorne's desk. Then she carefully put the frog down inside. The frog hopped once and stared up at her peevishly. She stared back at him. She had grown rather fond of him. She hoped nothing happened to him in the confusion. She closed the desk softly so as not to frighten him, then sat down primly in her place. The children all came in. While they were standing up saying good morning, Harriet grabbed a chunk of Laura Peters' hair and chopped it off with some scissors she had ready. Laura Peters didn't feel a thing. She sat down quite happily, never suspecting that she had a large chunk cut out of her hair. Harriet stared at the spot with a kind of joy. Just as Sport, who had seen the whole thing, was about to rat, Marion Hawthorne opened her desk. Harriet had never seen such confusion or heard such screams in her life. It was extremely gratifying. It was as though the whole class erupted in a volcanic shower of cries, running, yelps, and tumbling bodies. No one at first knew what had happened. Marion screamed so loudly that everyone jumped up. Then, when they saw what appeared to be a small brown spot leaping from desk to desk, onto a child's shoulder, onto another desk, from there to an arm, they lost their heads completely without being able to tell what about. In the confusion, Harriet got up quietly and walked home. When she came in, the cook said in a very quiet voice, "What are you doing? You're not supposed to be home."
"I'm just home."
"But why are you home?" the cook said ever so softly.
"Why are you whispering?" shouted Harriet.
"I have a new cake in the oven," whispered the cook. "It will be ready in a minute. You mustn't bounce around or walk heavy or shout, because it will fall."
Harriet stood there. She munched a thought over in her mind. Without warning, she ran to the center of the room, overturned a chair, then jumped up and down, stomping her feet with all her might. The cook screamed one long scream and flew to the oven.
"Look what you've done, you terrible child. That does it. I quit. If I have to put up with you one more day, I will go stark, raving, yelling crazy, and it's not worth it for what I get paid."
Harriet left the room. The cook stood looking at the flat cake. It lay there in the pan as if someone had stepped on it.
"There is something wrong in this house. It was never this bad before. Mrs. Welsh is going to hear from me, all right, all right."
Harriet lay upstairs in her room all day. She didn't look out the window or read or write in her notebook. She just lay there looking at the ceiling. Through her mind rang one single name endlessly. "Olgali, Olgali, Olgali, Olgali," as though saying it would make her appear. In the late afternoon, she could hear the cook yelling at her mother.
"I'm quitting, I tell you. I'm tired of being run into every day and being screamed at, and now she stomped my cake, and that does it."
"Oh, please don't leave us now. We need you." Harriet's mother was almost begging.
"I wouldn't stay for all the money in the world. I'm leaving right now."
"How about a $5 raise? I think we could see our way clear. Something better be done about that Harriet. I hate to leave you in the lurch, but she run into me one more time or pull a nasty trick like stomping my cake, and that's it."
"I understand. I'm a cook. I'm not a nurse."
Harriet, in her room, thought, "Olgali, Olgali, Olgali.
Of course, I understand completely."
Cook retired loudly to the kitchen, and Harriet's mother came up the steps. Harriet could hear her coming. She kept looking at the ceiling. There was a pattern there made by the leaves of a tree outside the window, a very interesting pattern that changed over and over.
"Harriet, what is the matter with you?"
Her mother stood in the doorway. Harriet didn't answer, and inside the song went, "Olgali, please, please, Olgali."
"Harriet, do you know what my day has been like? I had a frantic call at the hairdresser's to come to your school immediately. I went over there and heard how you had spent your morning. That Laura Peters is practically going to have her head shaved. Marion Hawthorne went home sick, and Miss Elson was on the verge of tears, she was so wrought up. She'll probably never get over it. She says it was bedlam for hours. Then I come home to find the cook quitting. Well, luckily I saved that situation, but Harriet, this has gone too far. What do you think you're doing?"
Harriet didn't move. Inside, the song had stopped, and she felt a dim sense of pleasure side by side with a swelling current of fear.
"Harriet?"
She lay there. Her mother turned and left the room, saying as she went, "Your father will be home in an hour. If you're not talking to me by then, you'll have to talk to him." Harriet lay there the rest of the afternoon, watching the leaf pattern change and fade. She heard her father come in.
"I just can't cope with this kind of thing.
I come home from the office and I want some peace and quiet and a martini. I come home tonight and the ice bucket is even filled. You are practically raving. I can hear that fink of a cook all the way from the kitchen. She is yelling so loud. And you tell me you just gave her a $5 raise. That makes sense, woman. There was a lot of mumbling and then a door closed. Her mother had taken her father into the library. Everyone always went into the library to be fussed at. She lay in the dark and stared at nothing. She didn't blame her father for being angry. It was all so boring. When she closed her eyes, sometimes she saw a yellow spot. She almost fell asleep. A slant of light fell across her face, and she opened one eye a crack to see her father standing in the doorway. She closed her eyes. Harriet, are you asleep? Harriet didn't move. Harriet, answer me. Harriet just lay there, scarcely breathing. Listen, I know perfectly well you're not asleep. I used to do the same thing to my father. So you just sit up and talk to me. Quickly, Harriet sat up, leaned over, and in one perfectly coordinated motion, threw a shoe at her father.
Well, of all the splutter, something has to be done. This child, come in here. I think we'd better call... What the...
The door banged shut. Harriet lay there as though she had never moved, and never thrown a shoe, had never been unhappy, had never caught a frog. She thought quietly, "Wait until I break Janie's finger." Then she fell asleep quite suddenly. Late at night, she awoke to feel her mother putting her pajamas on her and tucking her in. She slept blissfully.
Chapter 14. When Harriet got up the next morning, she was starving because she hadn't had any dinner the night before. She went downstairs in her pajamas and sat down at the breakfast table. "Harriet, go back up and put on your clothes."
"No."
"What do you mean, no?" Her mother stared at her wide-eyed.
"No, that's all, just no."
"Get up those steps this minute," her father said, "or you'll get a wailing you'll never forget." Harriet went back up and put on her clothes. She came back and sat down again. Neither of her parents had a paper in front of them, and they seemed to look at her a lot.
"Did you wash?"
"No."
"Then go back and wash."
"No."
"Harriet, you always go back and wash."
Silence.
"Harriet, go up and wash."
"No."
Her father looked at her mother.
"We are doing this none too soon, I see. But before we all get a lot of newfangled ideas, may I say, Harriet, that you are going to go upstairs right this minute and wash, or you won't be able to sit down for a week."
Harriet went back upstairs and washed. Somehow it all made her feel rather pleasant, and she hummed a little coming back down.
"This morning," her mother said, "you are not going to school."
"I know it."
"How do you know it? Harriet, were you spying?"
"No."
"Then how did you know?"
"I decided I wasn't going. I don't like school anymore."
"Oh, well, that's not exactly what I meant. I meant that this morning you are going with me to pay a visit to someone." Harriet's heart leaped.
"Olgali? Is Olgali in town?"
Her mother and father exchanged a glance.
"No," said her mother. "We're going to see a doctor."
"Oh." Harriet chewed some bacon. "Dr. Andrews?" she asked casually, planning to spread some rumor about Carrie when she was in the office.
"No," said her mother, and looked rather helplessly at her father.
Her father went, "Humph," and cleared his throat a couple of times. Then he said, "This is a rather pleasant chap you're going to see.
He is not a fink like most doctors. Harriet kept eating without looking at him. Maybe, she thought. I could just say my father thinks Dr. Andrews is a fink, and that would be enough for Carrie. When she was finished, she went outside to wait for her mother. She looked in the direction of her school and could see all the children piling in the door. She didn't care if she ever went in there again. It seemed 100 years ago that she had liked to write Harriet M. Welsh at the top of the page. Her mother finally came around in the car, and Harriet got in. Her mother drove over to 96th and 5th, then 3 times around the block looking for a parking space, and finally put the car in a garage, fuming in rage the whole time. In the elevator, Harriet said suddenly, "What am I coming here for? I don't feel sick." Although she felt a little sick as she said it. "You just talk to this doctor. He doesn't do anything to you." "But I don't know him." "That's all right. He's a nice man." "But what do I talk about?" "Anything he wants to." They got to the 7th floor, and her mother buzzed the buzzer on a blue door. It was answered almost immediately by the funniest-looking man Harriet had ever seen. He had bright red hair that stood straight up behind a bald crown, an enormous mouth grinning with yellow teeth, funny glasses with big black rims, and he was very, very tall, so tall he bent over a little. He also, she noticed, had a very strange nose and very long feet. "Hello there," he said cheerfully. Harriet sneered at him. She hated people who tried to make you like them right away. "Hello, Dr. Wagner, this is Harriet." Harriet looked away. She felt stupid standing there. They were both looking at her. "Well now, why don't you come into my office and we'll have a little talk?" The library all over again, thought Harriet. This is a long way to come to be fussed at. Her mother smiled at her, then went into the waiting room, while Harriet followed the red hair into its office. The office was large, with a sky blue rug, a couch, and for some reason, a spinet. Harriet stood stock still in the middle of the room as Dr. Wagner sat down in one of the 2 huge armchairs. He looked at her pleasantly, rather expectantly, and she looked back. There was a great deal of silence. "Well?" said Harriet after a long time. "Well, what?" he said pleasantly. "Well, what do we do now?" "You can do anything you like."
"Can I leave?"
"Do you want to?"
"Well, what am I supposed to do?"
Harriet was getting quite angry. Dr. Wagner scratched his nose. "Well, let's see. We could play a game. Do you like games?" This was the dumbest thing Harriet had ever heard of. To come all this way to play a game. She bet her mother didn't know this. What was the matter with this man? She decided that the only nice thing to do would be to play along with him for a while.
"Yeah, I like games, all right."
"What kind of games?" Oh, what a tiresome man. "Any old game. You're the one who wanted to play a game."
"Do you play chess?"
"No." Ogali was going to teach me, she thought, but she never got around to it.
"Well, how about Monopoly?"
Just about the most boring game in the world. It had everything in it that Harriet hated.
"Okay, if you want to."
Dr. Wagner got up and went to a cabinet next to the door. When he opened it, Harriet could see all sorts of games, dolls, dollhouses, and trucks. She tried to be nice about it, but she was curious. "Do you sit here all day playing with all these things?" Wait till her mother got a load of this. He looked at her archly.
"What do you think?"
"What do you mean, what do I think?"
"Well, do you think I sit here all day playing with these toys?"
"How do I know? You got a whole closet full of them."
"Don't you have toys at home?"
This was too much.
"Yes," she shouted, "but I'm 11.
"Oh." He looked somewhat taken aback, standing there with the Monopoly board in his hand. Harriet began to feel sorry for him. Well, she said, shall we play one game? He looked relieved. He set up the board carefully on the coffee table. Then he went to the desk drawer and got out a notebook and a pen. Then he sat down across from her. Harriet stared at the notebook. What's that? A notebook. I know that, she shouted. I just take a few notes now and then. You don't mind, do you? It depends on what they are. What do you mean? Are they mean, nasty notes, or just ordinary notes? Why? Well, I just thought I'd warn you. Nasty ones are pretty hard to get by with these days. Oh, I see what you mean. Thank you for the advice. No, they're quite ordinary notes. Nobody ever takes it away from you, I bet, do they? What do you mean? Nothing. Let's play. They played a game. Harriet was wildly bored, but she won. Dr. Wagner took a quantity of notes during and after the game. I'll bet if you didn't take so many notes, you'd play better. Do you think so? Harriet looked at him darkly. He couldn't be this stupid. Why was he acting like this? They played another game. He took less notes and won that game. You see? Harriet was jubilant. Taking notes all the time makes you no good. Why don't you put that notebook away someplace? She watched him closely. He looked faintly amused for the first time. Suppose, he said slowly, I give you a notebook. Then we'll each have one and we'll be fairly matched. Harriet stared at him hard. Was he kidding her? Was he trying to see what she'd do? Her fingers itched at the thought of a notebook, of a pen flying over the pages, of her thoughts finally free to move, flowing out. Oh, who cared what he was trying to do? Okay, do you have another one? She tried to appear casual. Yes, as a matter of fact, I do. He went to his desk and took out a very pretty little notebook with a bright blue cover. Harriet tried to look unconcerned by looking at the spinet. He also took out a nice little ballpoint pen. He handed both to Harriet. She felt better the moment she had them in her hands. Dr. Wagner sat down and they began another game. Harriet began to write. Funniest nose I have ever seen. Runs right down the middle of his face like a snake. He reminds me somewhat of Pinky Whitehead, but he's not as repulsive. He has red hair and funny teeth. They are sort of yellow and long. This office smells of cigars and chalk. I bet he plays with those toys after everyone leaves. Harriet had forgotten all about the game. She suddenly heard Dr. Wagner saying softly, Harriet, Harriet, it's time to go. She didn't want to leave. I can't, she thought, live here. She got up quickly and started for the door. Goodbye, Harriet, he said gently. Goodbye, she said. He wasn't a bad sort, she thought, just a little baddie. Harriet's mother took the notebook away immediately. Harriet felt empty on the ride back. When she got home, her mother disappeared and the long afternoon stretched ahead of her. Without a notebook, she couldn't spy, she couldn't take notes, she couldn't play town, she couldn't do anything. She was afraid to go and buy another one, and for once, she didn't feel like reading. She suddenly found herself wondering what would happen if she went to see Sport and Janie and tried, privately, to be friendly. After all, being her best friends, they had always known she was a spy and that she was going to be a writer, and so how could they suddenly act as though this were a terrible thing? Maybe they were tired of being mad anyway. She grabbed her coat and ran down the steps. She wondered, on the way, if they'd gotten Janie into dancing school. She could start with that to break the ice. The maid let Harriet in, and she went up the back steps straight to Janie's lab. She opened the door, and there stood Janie, so involved in her work that she didn't even look up.
Harriet said softly so as not to frighten her. Janie? Janie turned quickly and was so startled that she dripped the test tube she was holding. She stood there absolutely stricken at the sight of Harriet. Then she saw the spreading mass at her feet.
Oh, look what you made me do! Just look!
Harriet looked at the floor. Not only was there an awful brown stain spreading rapidly over the parquet, but it also appeared to be burning into the wood.
What was that stuff?
Janie was busy now, mopping. She didn't say a word, just smiled her terrible smile, and cleaned as best as she could in silence. The stain was diminished only somewhat after repeated washings. Harriet stood there feeling one of the worst feelings she had ever felt. Janie acted as though she weren't even in the room. A part of the floor was definitely eaten away.
Maybe we could... Harry began tentatively.
Don't you think you've done enough already? Janie's eyes were nasty.
I was going to say maybe you could roll the rug over and she wouldn't see.
Harriet felt like running out the door.
So next time you come, you can ruin the rug, is that it?
Harriet looked hard at Janie. Janie stared back at her. Harriet walked to the door. She kept her back to Janie and didn't say a word, because if she had tried to talk, she would have cried. She crossed over to the park and sat down on a bench. She began to consider the idea of going to Sports House. A tear ran down the side of her nose. Janie was one thing, but sport had always been her best friend. Suppose he acted like Janie? She waited a minute for some idea to come to her. But there was no way out of it. It was now or never. If sport was not her friend, then it was better to know it now. Then she would really be alone, and if she were really alone in the world, she might as well know it. She got up from the bench and briskly walked to Sports House. She ran up the steps to his apartment. As she was getting ready to knock, she heard loud laughter from inside, then a giggle from Sport. Out of habit, she listened. Sport's father was laughing very hard and saying things like, "Wow," and "How about that?" Then he said, "How about your old dad? Now what do you think of that? Look at it, Sport. Look at that big fat check." Harriet couldn't stand the suspense. She knocked. Sport came to the door, still giggling. When he opened it, he stood there, shocked. The smile had faded from his face. He looked sad. His father was still running around the room laughing and jumping up and down on furniture. It was funny to stand there looking at Sport with his father running around behind him like a crazy man. Harriet finally said, "Hi, Sport." Sport ducked his head as though he had been hit. His eyes went down to the floor, then he backed away a little bit, dragged one foot, and said, Hello, Harriet." It wasn't much of a welcome, but Harriet pushed right through the door. Sport's father hardly noticed her. And now he was on the phone, jabbering away and waving a check in his hands. "They took it! They took it! It's coming out in the spring! Hey, how about that?" Harriet looked back at Sport, who was still standing, holding the door open. "He sold the book?" In spite of himself, a smile broke full across Sport's face. "Yeah," he said reverently. "He just got the check." And then, as though he suddenly remembered, he dropped his eyes to the floor again. "Hey, Sport, I gotta talk to you." Harriet moved toward him the slightest fraction of an inch.
"How about that?"
Sport's father hung up the phone with a bang and, rushing over, hoisted Sport right up on his shoulders.
"Wow!"
he shouted, twirling Sport's body in the air like a tennis racket. Then he swooped him down again and gave him a big hug.
"Man, we're in business! Shoes and a real suit for you and steak every night. Every night, old Sport."
Sport giggled away happily.
"Hi there, Harriet. I didn't see you. What do you think of that? I made it, baby. They're giving me money."
Harriet laughed up at him. It's great. Sport's father was a nice-looking man with laughing eyes like Sport and funny hair that fell over his eyes. He always wore an old sweater with holes in it, the same old pair of gray pants, and worn-out sneakers. Sometimes he was gloomy, but when he was happy like this, his smile filled the room. Harriet looked at him with wonder. He was a writer. A real writer. What did he think? What was in his head? She forgot Sport altogether as she stared at Mr. Rock. She couldn't resist a question for the notebook. Would he answer something profound? What does it feel like to get paid for what you write? What would he say? She waited breathlessly. It's heaven, baby. Sheer heaven. Harriet felt irritated. Was he like everybody else? Hey, listen, Sport. Get a clean shirt on. I'm taking you out to dinner. Sport ran into his room. How about you, Harriet? Want to go to dinner with us? Before Harriet could say anything, Sport opened the door to his room and shouted, No! As loud as he could. Then he slammed the door again. Well, Sport's father said. He looked embarrassed. If I know my boy, he's trying to get me not to spend that check already. I have to go home anyway. I was going to say I have to go home. Harriet began to shout. I couldn't go with you anyway. I couldn't go with you anyway. She screamed towards Sport's door. Well, said Sport's father again, looking at Harriet in astonishment. Harriet walked out the door and went home. That night, Harriet had another nightmare. It didn't start out as a nightmare. It started, in fact, as a wonderful dream in which Old Golly, seated in a rocker and wearing a warm yellow flannel bathrobe, rocked Harriet on her lap as she held her very close. Harriet's mother came into the room. Harriet was still in her dream, screaming at the top of her lungs, Oh golly, oh golly, oh golly! She kept on crying softly, even after her mother was holding her. Then she realized where she was and turned her head to the wall. She pretended to be asleep until her mother left. Then she cried a little more and really fell asleep.